God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text will come from our Old Testament reading from the prophet Jonah. Actually, I'm going to be covering the whole book of Jonah. And don't worry, Jonah's really only four chapters in length. I'll just sort of summarize some of it. So when you get a chance, please read it on your own. But before we get into Jonah, let's sort of set the stage here. What do you do if it's your child that all of a sudden is missing? I don't know about you, but in my wallet right now, I have two of those picture ID things from a national company that if anything like that should ever happen, and we hope and pray nothing like that would ever happen, that I can immediately call a number. And on this number, on this card, is also the identification number where my daughter's picture would be able to be broadcast across the United States instantaneously to alert all the law enforcement agencies that, yes, my daughter is missing. Should that event ever occur, it is complete devastation to the family. Yes, the police report will have to be filed. There'll be posters all over the place. And my family would probably be distraught as much as possible as we pray, oh Lord, please never let this happen to our family. And if not to little kids, have you ever seen the posters of lost dogs or lost cat with a big giant reward for the family pet to be returned back to the family? Again, during these great times of loss, there is heartbreak. What have we done to protect our family, especially the family pet? For our dog? Our dog is microchipped. So if anything should happen to the dog has a dog collar on it, but if something happens to the dog collar, guess what? As soon as the dog is picked up by any law enforcement agency, they have a scanning device, scan the dog. The microchip says, this dog belongs to Pastor Bala. And our dog is returned to the family. These are all great news as long as the message goes out that something is missing and that person or animal is able to be reconnected back to our family. Again, we hope and pray this never happens to any of our families. But now, what about God's family? You see, we have to remember that when God created Adam and Eve, they belonged to Him. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they sort of lost that connection. They were no longer part of the family of God. God didn't want this to occur, and so He did something about it. He sent the Savior of the world, because Adam and Eve and all their children would be outside the family of God without that Savior. That Savior we know as Jesus the Christ. The sinless Son of Man, Son of God, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to reconnect us lost family members, us runaways from God, back to Him, so that we could be part of the family of God. Almost like the pictures you see in the mail of lost kids or lost family animals. Through Christ, we almost see our picture. Our picture that says, yes, God wants you. There is a reward. There is a cost. It costs Jesus His life, the shedding of His blood for the forgiveness of our sins so that we could be reconnected with God. The runaway would come home, the family to be reunited. Jonah was actually one of these people whose job was to reconnect someone who was lost and the family of God back to the family of God. Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh. However, there was a problem. Many of you know the account of Jonah. Basically, God calls Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Instead, he went as far away as possible. And we have to ask why. Why would Jonah want to go on a boat and sail in the opposite direction if God is telling him to go that way? And let me give you a little bit of a clue why. First of all, where is Nineveh? Nineveh is in the area of the Babylonians. That may ring a bell. The Babylonians were the people who took the people of Israel and made them slaves, who took them out of their homeland, destroyed their cities, destroyed their temple, and brought them to Babylonia to serve The case in point, Jonah was called, and after the Babylonians released the people of Israel, they went back home. So Jonah was called to go back to the people who oppressed his people, to go back to those who created great harm and devastation, go back to those wicked people and tell them about the grace of God, tell them about being part of God's family. You can almost see Jonah's prejudices begin to perk up. He basically said inside himself, no, I'm not going to go there. The wickeds deserve to get their just deserts, Jonah would have thought. Let them roast in hell. Who cares? You know what they did to us? But God called Jonah. God wanted the people of Nineveh back into his family. So what does Jonah do? Says, forget this. I'm going to hop on a boat. I'm going to get as far away from God as possible. Again, we may know the story. Jonah's on the boat. He's sailing off for a distant land, and all of a sudden, a huge storm comes. The boat's about ready to go down, so they throw over the cargo to hopefully lighten the boat so the boat and people would survive. The sailors, realizing this isn't going to help, they finally started figuring out who offended God. Jonah was called upon. And in Jonah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, Jonah says to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah at that point did the right thing at the right time. He told them to the people, toss me overboard. They eventually did. The storm went away. The people in the boat were saved. Jonah also was saved as God commanded a large fish to swallow Jonah. As Jonah got to spend some good time by himself thinking about what he had done. You know, when we get a little rebellious, I guess my daughters get a little rebellious from time to time. Maybe not yours, but mine do. They need that time out, that time to be alone, to think about what they did and how they did it and what they did wrong, what they would not do in the future. Needless to say, Jonah was in the fish, and he repents. He turns around. He now understands that, yes, God wants him to go to Nineveh. The fish releases Jonah, and Jonah's now on the way to Nineveh. I don't know about you. Let me pick on my daughters one more time, because they're so cute and adorable. That when they're kind of cornered, and they really have no choice, you will go to bed. They don't want to go to bed. You will go to bed. I don't want to go to bed. They will go to bed. You get that duress. You probably have never seen this. You know where they squint their eyes, make a pouty face, and then, under protest, on their way to the bedroom, they do this. Never happens to you, I know, but it happens to me. Jonah actually does the same thing, I'm assuming here. Why? Because notice what happens and what he says to the people of Nineveh. He says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. End of message. Wow, that's got to be the shortest sermon in history. My board of lay ministry is probably taking notes going, Pastor Ball, can't you learn from Jonah? No, we're going to expand things a little bit more. That the bare minimum, that was all Jonah was going to do. The bare minimum. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Now, typically when we talk about sermons, when we talk about messages coming from God, we always mention that there is a law that convicts us of our sins, and there is the gospel message, which also shows us our Savior. Both need to be present. In this short sermon, is there law and gospel? The answer is yes. The law, very easy to recognize. Nineveh will be overturned. Basically, Nineveh is going to be destroyed, wiped out. The gospel message may catch you by surprise. What is the gospel message here? That you actually got the warning. And that you had 40 days to consider it. Because God in His wrath could have just wiped Nineveh off the face of the earth right then and there. But He chose not to. Why? Because God saw them as the runaway. And God wanted them back. The response of the people of Nineveh in verse 5 of our text reminds us that they believed, and then a response of that belief, they fasted and they were wearing sackcloth and ashes, which is sort of a sign of repentance. And verse 10 of our text, the good news that God didn't wipe them out, receive them into their family. He didn't want Nineveh. God did want Nineveh to be part of his family. However, what was Jonah's response after all this? You can read it more in chapter 4, but let me give you some highlights here. You would think that Jonah would be happy that the people of Nineveh listened. But Jonah's attitude of his heart really didn't change. That prejudice was still there. He still didn't want the wicked to get off that easy. He wanted the wicked to pay, to be punished. So Jonah, as it says in Jonah chapter 4, verse 9, was angry enough even to die. That's a great deal of anger within this prophet of God. Now, the connecting point to us. We are concerned for friends and family. As you can probably tell, we've taken various protections, so to speak, for our children, have taught them what to do, how so they won't get lost, so they won't come up missing, and if they do, they know what to do then. But what about others? Do we have that same concern for others? What about others who are, quote-unquote, wicked? What about those who are a menace in today's society by our standards? What about those who oppress us? Those who hurt us? Those who take advantage of us? Or even worse, those who even hurt our own children? Don't they deserve death and punishment? Should they be part of God's family? Do we not love? Should we not love all people, or do we only love a select few? 8 times in the Old Testament, God uses this phrase, and let me quote it from Psalm chapter 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. 8 times in the Old Testament, this phrase is used. God wants us to love our enemies. But what happens when something goes against us? Are we slow to anger, or does that anger rise within us? After a hard day of work and the kids get a little rebellious, how fast does that anger stir up within us and steam out of us? How fast do we lash out at others? How fast do we hang on to the anger of someone who has done us wrong and then never forgive them, or only forgive them after we have been satisfied? It seems that we and Jonah have a lot in common. We still need something to learn. We need our time out space to reflect. What does God's word have to say for us? Let me pick up from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins of sinners. You see, we have to realize we are the sinners. We are the ones who are quick to anger and slow to love. Fortunately for us, we have a God who doesn't operate that way. We are kind to our friends, those whom we love, but to those who are opposed to us, we'd rather give them vengeance. God has a rebuke for us. God's rebuke of us is very similar to that of Jonah in chapter 4. You see, God has a rebuke for all, quote-unquote, lukewarm Christians who seem to be moved to tears by a missing child, by a death of a dog or a cat, can be stirred to righteous anger over pollution, the environment, over politics, but feel very little compassion for all those who are without Christ, for all those who don't know about the hope through our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, for all those who are runaways of God's family. We have to ask ourselves, are we part of the problem? Or are we part of the solution? Take the test, so to speak. Jonah, right after the people of Nineveh, right after our text, repented, and God changed his mind. In chapter 4, verse 2, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Jonah was not happy. He was still angry and upset, angry enough to die because of his prejudices, because of his anger of other people. Hear the words of our Savior in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. Jesus is speaking. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. You see, we can kill people just with our words, with our feelings, with our emotions. And that's no difference from God's point of view. He wants us to love. We have to remember God is the creator of all life. He cares for all life. All human beings belong in his family. And God sent his son Jesus Christ so that all would be saved and be reconnected to him, so that all the runaways will be returned. But can you just picture it? One family member says, oh good, another one of my siblings is gone. Good, we don't want that person back. How cruel! But unfortunately, if you have more than one little one, you sometimes come up with phrases. Why do I have to have a sibling? They're part of the family. You love them. No, I don't. Yes, you do. We can see that within all of us, like within Jonah. And so what do? We return to the Lord because we realize that when we see those pictures of missing little ones, from God's point of view, our picture should be there. We are the rebellious ones. We are the ones who have run away. We are the ones who are lost in our sin. And we return to the Lord, seeking his grace, seeking his mercy, seeking his forgiveness. Yes, we know the Heavenly Father is very loving, quick to forgive, slow to anger, and sometimes we're a little slow in returning. But as being part of the family of God, we know we need to return. That is where true love is, comes from. God first loves us so that we in turn not only bask in the glory of that love, but also love others. Not just our friends and family, because God created all human beings. From the moment of conception to the point that he takes them to be with him in heaven above, God cherishes every single person. So when feelings of hate and rage against someone start to consume us, let us remember Jonah. We're not going to be able to escape. The fish made sure of that. God is trying to call us back into a relationship with him. A relationship into a loving, caring family. A relationship in that family that experiences that love and forgiveness that comes from God and God alone. So we call upon the Christ, Jesus, who loved us first. And we ask the Lord to bestow more of his love and mercy because, like Jonah, we do find it difficult to share that love. We also ask the Lord for forgiveness as we harbor our thoughts of anger, hatred, and pride. And we ask the Lord to show us his love. As he loves all people, we ask the Lord to help us to love all people to the glory of his name, so that all the runaways will be returned. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.